Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight, the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
Okay, the comics we're going to be talking about in this episode are from the September 2008 Previews Catalog. Well, you don't need to have the Previews Catalog to follow along. It helps to have that. You can usually get most of the solicitations online, though.
And there is a PDF file that Diamond provides of the order form that has the page numbers and order codes and prices and all of that. And I have a link to that on our thread about the preview show on the forum.
And places like DCBS have a text file that has the text descriptions for these items. So really at that point, the only thing you're missing is what the covers look like. But sometimes that can make a pretty big difference.
So our first submission, well, we had this month seven people representing eight podcasts other than our own contributing to the episode. And we've got four additional interviews, and those will come out on Friday. And I think that's it. Do you want to dive in the Dark Horse section? We have our first page that we're talking about contributed by Ian Levenstein of the Comic Timing Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Ian from Comic Timing back with a independent pick, and I am going with Dark Horse, and I am going most specifically with a comic book that came out of left field when I originally found it. I wasn't expecting anything at all when I heard that Gerard Way was going to be writing comic books. I mean, he's the lead singer of My Chemical Romance, you know, an emo band. Not the music I'm into at all. And you know, even calling them an emo band isn't quite right. I mean, they're a pop band. They're a nice pop rock band that has some decent songs from now and again, but not really my cup of tea. But the first Umbrella Academy series, which I actually read off my girlfriend because she bought the series, and I just, borrowed it off of her, and they were really good. I liked the entire series. It was fun. It was quirky. The art by Gabriel Ba was actually very, very intensive and well done and well drawn, and everything had this nice feel to it that I haven't really seen repeated elsewhere. So, yeah, I gave it a glowing review, a glowing endorsement. So here I am again, seeing that new Umbrella Academy is coming. And, well, here we are with Umbrella Academy Dallas number one, yet again coming out of Dark Horse, and the beginning of a brand new series here. Not only is this my pick here on the previews spotlight, but this is also my Comic Timing pick of the month at Heroes Corner. And because of that, it is 75 cents at Heroes Corner, yet another book I'll be covering in November. And at DCBS, it is $1.49, product code of SEP080011. And we continue with the world of Umbrella Academy. They've saved the world, but the house they were raised in is destroyed. One member is bedridden, the side of her head held together with tape, and another has lost her voice, the source of her power. Now that they've fulfilled their destiny, does the Umbrella Academy have any future at all? The Umbrella Academy returns for a second six-issue series, Dallas, where we put the term hero to the test. And I'm expecting more good stuff out of Gerard Way here. I mean, it's one thing to do one good miniseries. To do two good miniseries, you prove something to everybody in the comic book world. It proves that you can be consistent, and it proves that, well, your first work wasn't a fluke. So I'm very much hoping that this work is not indeed a fluke, and that we do get good stuff out of Gerard Way. And can I just talk about how much I love Gabriel Ba on art? I mean, he's doing the covers also. And I believe originally the covers were done by, Mr. Fables himself, but he's no longer doing covers anymore, so, you know, very sad to hear that. But I'm sure that Gabriel Ba is going to bring an incredible style to this book. And worst comes to worst, if you want the Jim Lee cover, you can go ahead and get yourself the Jim Lee cover. But anyway, Umbrella Academy Dallas number one, pick it up. Even if you didn't read the first one, you might be able to get into it with this miniseries here. But I would recommend picking up the trade if you can, as I believe that is also solicited this month and available. So give that a go. John and Bob, take it away.
Yeah, I like the first Umbrella Academy miniseries, and I'm definitely going to be getting this. It's kind of halfway between Casanova, which I just don't get, and, you know, kind of a normal comic. It's kind of weird and kind of quirky, but I liked it, so I'll be continuing on. Did you keep on getting this one, John, or are you going to skip over Dallas?
I got the entire first run. Had mixed feelings. I liked some of it, didn't care for some of it. I was expecting more standard superheroic, or not standard, but more superheroics stuff based on the free issue they did.
Yeah, I agree with that. The free comic book day sample that they did was relatively different in tone from the series.
But I am going to get the first issue. I'm undecided if I'll get the ones after that or not. But DCBS has it at half off, so I figured I'll give it a try. And the other thing that made me decide to do that is it looks like it's 32 pages with no ads. So it should be, you know, pretty much cover-to-cover story or story-related material. And that was the other thing that kind of pushed me over the edge to get it.
Okay. Next up, we have on page 34, Gigantic Number 1 by Rick Remender. Now, personally, if I see Rick Remender's name on something, I buy it because I have liked pretty much everything Remender has done, at least everything that he's done that has been his own creator-owned stuff. And that goes back to Strange Girl, Sea of Red, I love Fear Agent, and End League, and now he's got Gigantic Number 1. And this is a story about a gigantic armored alien appearing out of nowhere in San Francisco and just smashing things all to heck. And merriment ensues. We're going to talk a lot more about this book with Rick himself on our interviews episode that goes up this Friday. We are talking with Rick, so I will leave the longer conversation to there. You can look that episode up when it posts. But suffice to say, we've got a this is one of the comic book page picks of the month. We have a special discount on this, 50% off with DCBS. So you'll be able to get it for $1.75, half off the $3.50 cover price.
Okay, next up we've got not one, not two, but three picks from our friend Mike Myers. So let's listen to all three of those.
This is Mike Myers from Geek Brunch Podcast and the DC Noise Podcast. I'm Comic M on the forum, which can be found on iTunes, both of those podcasts. And I'm here to plug Sergeant Rock Lost Battalion, written by Billy Tucci. Art is by Billy Tucci. Covers by Billy Tucci and Mark Sparcio. This is the little blurb reads, DC's iconic soldier for ages returns in this six-issue miniseries written and illustrated by Eisner nominee Billy Tucci. From the bloody beaches of Normandy to the muddy forests of Vosges Mountains, a cut-off easy company led by Sergeant Rock will be joined by Johnny Cloud and the Haunted Tank as they battle for their lives behind enemy lines against a force 10 times their size. Based on actual events, the story of heroism and humanity of one small band of men defy all odds to survive. Now that just sounds sweet. And I love Sergeant Rock. I grew up with Sergeant Rock. We used to play in the playground as Sergeant Rock in Easy Company, and I was always Ice Cream Soldier, who was my favorite. My friend was Bulldozer. We had a Jackie Johnson and a little Sure Shot, and then, of course, Sergeant Rock. And I just love these characters, and I'm so happy to see that they're coming back. And I also love the Haunted Tank. Back when I was a kid, I read a lot of war comics, and Sergeant Rock holds a special place in my heart, just like Unknown Soldier in G.I. Combat. He first appeared in Our Army at War, number 83, in 1959, and he was created by Robert Kanigher and Joe Kubert. Check it out. I think you will enjoy it. And I just want to point out that it's being released on November 12th, a 6-issue miniseries, 32 pages, cover price is $2.99. And also, if you're really into Sergeant Rock, you can turn to the DC Direct section, and you can order a DC Direct 1/6 scale deluxe collector figure for $99. I know that's expensive, but I'm all over it. On page 69, Ran Thanagar Holy War, number 7, written by Jim Starlin, art by Ron Lem and Rob Hunter, covers by Jim Starlin. Cover price is $3.50, and this is issue 7 of 8. I'm just going to keep plugging this book. This is my favorite, one of my favorite reads, besides all the Final Crisis stuff that's coming out every month. But this stands outside of Final Crisis, and it's just a fun DC cosmic sci-fi adventure comedy series, and I'd highly recommend it. It's got comedy in it, but not too much, and it's very well-executed comedy. The colors are awesome, the lettering's awesome, everything is just great about this book. I am really passionate about this book, and everything pretty much that Starlin has done for DC. I love Mystery in Space, and they both prompted me to go back and get from the 90s Hardcore Station to learn more about about Hardcore Station and the characters that he created at Hardcore Station, which came out in the 90s, and it was a 6-issue series. So check it out. Please try to read it or get the trade. I think it's a well-deserved book to read. I highly recommend it. On page 70, Batman Cacophony, number 1, written by Kevin Smith, art by Walt J. Flanagan and Sandra Hope, covered by Adam Kubert. I really enjoy the Kevin Smith issues. I've enjoyed him on Daredevil and Green Arrow, and also his Spider-Man work. Even though it comes out very, very infrequently, and sometimes very, very late, I mean, sometimes never at all, if you talk about Daredevil Target. But I think he's got all these in the can, and his buddy's drawing it. He's appeared in Clerks, and I think he works at the shop that Kevin Smith owns. But I'm really excited to see Kevin Smith write again and write Batman, and I think you'll enjoy it. Check it out. It's coming out November 12th. It's issue 1 of 3, 40 pages, $3.99 cover price. Thanks, and back to Bob and John.
So thanks, Mike, for those 3 submissions, and I am really enjoying Ran Thanagar. I am definitely looking forward to the Sergeant Rock. The Billy Tucci art on that looks amazing that I've seen, and I also, while I don't think I'm as hardcore a Sergeant Rock fan as Mike is, I never Sergeant Rock or anything, but I do like the DC War Heroes, so I'm definitely excited about that one. I am probably going to wait on Cacophony and pick it up out of, in a trade format or out of some bin somewhere. I'm just personally skipping a lot of the out-of-continuity miniseries from Marvel and DC that are $3.99 a pop for the individual issues, but that's just me. I also enjoy Kevin Smith's writing, and I'm sure at some point I will get that series and enjoy it. Next, we've got Ian, who's going to talk about Batman also.
Hey, John and Bob, it's Ian Levinstein from the Comic Timing Podcast over at speakeekspeak.com/comic timing here with my picks of the month. And I'm starting things off here with Detective Comics number 850, and that is, of course, a RIP tie-in. And not only is it an RIP tie-in, but it's a double-sized anniversary issue as well. Number 850 only happens once now, doesn't it? And that's certainly a historic number there. How many comics can you name that have gotten up to issue number 850? Certainly hard to think. But Detective Comics has reached that plateau here with this issue. And it is written by Paul Dini, like most other issues of Detective, other than the ones that have to fill in. And Dustin Nguyen, or however the hell you pronounce his name, and Derek Friedolfs is doing this issue as well. This is the conclusion of the Batman RIP tie-in, The Heart of Hush. So we're going to find out exactly what happens in this Hush storyline, how it concludes here. So far, I've been enjoying the Hush storyline a great deal. It sort of washes the taste out of the mouth of the other attempts that were made to try and capitalize on the character. This one seems a lot more in tune with what Jeff Loeb originally presented in the Hush storyline that Jim Lee and him did back in the day. In fact, I'm not even certain if that original Hush stuff is even in continuity anymore. You'll have to let me know on that, because I'm not even certain. But anyway, so it is a double-sized issue, so because of that, the price is a little higher than usual this month. The product code is SEP08. SEP08-0126. That's SEP08-0126. And the price this month, both on Heroes Corner and DCBS, is $239, discounted from the regular $399. So you're getting a decent discount, but again, because it's a double-sized issue, it's going to cost a little bit more than the usual one. In fact, they're kind of charging double. Well, okay, not quite. It's $299 usually. It's $399 this time. They're giving you an extra buck charge for a 48-page issue. Not too shabby indeed. So definitely check this out if you're a fan of Batman, and obviously if you're a fan of Batman, you're a fan of DC Comics, and you're a fan of probably the Hush storyline. If you haven't read Hush yet, go out there and read it. It's good stuff. Good art, good story, good everything. So check this baby out. Back to John and Bob.
Yeah, and if I am up on my Vietnamese name pronunciation, which I won't claim I'm completely up on, I believe that would be Dustin Nguyen as opposed to Nguyen. And I have been liking the Hush storyline probably the most of the things that are being told in this RIP event, which seems to be somewhat haphazard as it winds its way through all the different. It's more of a theme as opposed to a storyline.
Yeah.
Would you say, John?
I would agree with that. I'm actually liking the stuff over in Robin the best.
Yeah, the Robin is good also.
So, but it's all interesting stuff. So. Now, branching out just a little bit from the Batman family, our next pick is on page 79, and that's Birds of Prey 124. That's got a 50% discount through DCBS. And as everyone should remember from Batman the Killing Joke, it was the Joker that shot Barbara Gordon and put her in the wheelchair. And recently she set up a shop in Platinum Flats, which was pretty much a superhero-free community. And the organized crime there decided they wanted to keep it that way, so they brought in an outside contractor to get rid of the Birds of Prey, and the person they brought in was the Joker. So this gets to the confrontation between the Joker and Barbara Gordon, which I think is the first time they faced off since the Killing Joke, but I could be wrong about that. And this should be a great issue as always. I mean, the Birds of Prey is a lot of fun, and you know, seeing Oracle face off against the Joker should be well worth seeing.
And next up on the next page, page 80, we've got Green Lantern number 36, written by the great Jeff Johns. I am loving pretty much anything Jeff takes a pen to in the DC universe of late. And this issue is the prelude to Blackest Night. It's more, it's a continuation of the prelude to the Blackest Night. It's building off of Final Crisis, Rage of the Red Lanterns, and Hal and the Green Lantern Corps venture to the prison planet of Yzmalt to face the Red Lantern Corps. So it's green versus red, and that is Green Lantern number 36, which special DCBS discount for us of 50%.
Okay, next up we've got a pick from Bill Hughes, and let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob, it's just Bill. First of all, I want to once again thank John for his generosity and support for Just Bill's comic book drawer box, because if not for John, the podcast would still just be a vapor cast or whatever it was we used to refer to it as. But, you know, thanks to John, it actually exists. So I guess that means if you hate it, you have John to, you know, kind of blame for it. You know, Justice League of America number 27 looks pretty good this month. It's going to be the first modern appearance, I guess, of the Milestone characters in the regular DCU, at least. And it's going to be Icon and Hardware. And I'm really excited about this because I really loved the Milestone line back in the 90s, and I'm really looking forward to their return. Hardware, you know, he's kind of redundant in the DCU for me, I think, you know, when you've got characters like Steel there already. But, you know, I'll take anything I can get from Milestone right now. Icon was always very cool, but hopefully Rocket pops up with him, because she was always a far more interesting character for me at any rate. You know, the teenaged superhero who's not necessarily, you know, the whole pregnant teenage mom superhero bit, that was a very interesting, compelling story. And they never really got to finish it quite well before the line went away.
Yeah, I think bringing the Milestone characters into the DCU should be very interesting. I also agree that I hope Rocket shows up as well as Icon.
Yeah, Icon was pretty much my favorite. Well, Icon and Static, I liked Static also.
Yeah. Yeah, those I think were the highlights of the line, but a lot of it was good stuff. And a lot of it's really easy and affordable to find in back issues. I was looking around at some of it, and Torpedo had some of them at 99 cents. MyComicShop.com had them at like $1.34 or something. So if you want to get into some of the older Milestone stuff, the back issues are not that expensive.
Right, and you know, for picking up ones, if you look on the Monolith section on Torpedo, the good thing about Torpedo Comics is they have free shipping starting at $15. So it's relatively easy to go over there and get free shipping on your order.
Okay, next up we've got a pick from Ian and a pick from Rafe that are kind of related, so we'll play those back to back.
Hey, John and Bob, it's Ian Levinstein from the Comic Timing Podcast over at SpeakGeeksBeat.com/Comic Timing. Back with another DC pick here, this time going over to the world of Justice Society of America, or as they're calling them for this specials yet again, JSA. And this particular special is the JSA Kingdom Come special for The Kingdom, number one. This is a series of one-shots that are coming out this month that are all going to tie in to the finale of this giant Kingdom Come arc that both Alex Ross and Jeff Johns have been working on for the past couple of months here. And this particular arc here is, still written by Jeff Johns. The art, however, is done by Fernando Passarin, I believe, who did one of the fill-in issues on Justice Society recently, if memory is serving me correctly here. Now, these specials that are coming out, there are, I believe, three or four different specials all coming out this month, along with Justice Society of America. So you've got a big deal if you're a fan of JSA. You're getting your money's worth this month. Yet again, going to be a 48-pager, just like the last one I did on Detective Comics. And the price is exactly the same, $2.39, product code of SEP080160. That's SEP080160. So why am I picking this one over the other ones? Well, quite frankly, it's got the name The Kingdom in it. Now, I'm not sure if this means that we're actually going to see the characters from The Kingdom, but if we are, well then, hey, the more the merrier. Because I actually just picked up the trade paperback for The Kingdom, which was the sequel to the original Kingdom Come series. And, that one, you know, they never said that one's not in canon or anything like that. So here's hoping that that is indeed going to be remembered with this special here. Now, the description talks about Citizen Steel. So it could just be in The Kingdom in name alone and not actually touch on those characters, because I believe the Superman one does mention a battle between Earth 22 and Earth 1. But what the hell, I'll give this one a shot. And the regular issue of Justice Society of America coming out this month is actually the Comic Timing pick of the month this month over at Heroes Corner. Just wanted to point that out to all those folks out there. So that one's going to be covered on Comic Timing for our review corner when it comes out in the month of November. But anyway, yeah, this particular JSA Kingdom Come special I am looking forward to, because, the character of Citizen Steel, even Steel in general, Colonel Steel or Commander Steel before this, not really that familiar with the character. I know that the character of Steel did die in I believe Crisis on Infinite Earths, if I remember correctly, along with Vibe, because I don't know if they died, but I'm not quite remembering exactly when they died the first time around. And Citizen Steel is next in line of that title, just like a lot of the other members of the current JSA. So maybe we'll learn a little bit more about his character here, because from what we know so far, he does have skin made of steel. He can't feel anything. He can't touch anyone, really, because when he when he steps down, even on pavement, it crackles. So obviously he's going to want to try and get some feeling back, get his life back. And GOG might be the answer, because he's done a lot of good things for the JSA, or bad, depending on who you ask. So what choice is Citizen Steel going to make? I guess we'll find that out in this particular one-shot for this here. So yet again, the product code is SEP08016239 on Heroes Corner and DCBS. Check this special out. Check the other specials out, too, if you're a fan of Justice Society.
Hey there, Bob and John, and the rest of my fellow comic book pages. This is Raph, host of Geeks Unite, with my previews picks for the month of November from the September previews. The first pick is Justice Society of America Kingdom Come Special Superman number 1. Written by Ax Ross. Art and cover by Ax Ross. Variant cover by Dale Eaglesham and Nathan Massengill. On sale November 5th, 48 pages, full color $3.99 in the United States, higher elsewhere. On page 85 of this month's previews. So the description is, spinning out of the one world. Under GOG storyline, the Kingdom Come Superman's struggle with his place in the world brings a final conflict between the Supermen of Earths 1 and 22. Feeling the weight of his own world's loss on his shoulders, the transplanted Superman searches his way answers to the mystery of his life's seemingly cursed existence and encounters old acquaintances on the way. This is the first fully written and illustrated adventure by Kingdom Come co-creator Alex Ross, building to the storyline's conclusion in Justice Society of America number 22. In a world where Superman is gone, one man will go get him. That didn't make any sense, but I'm really looking forward to this. Alex Ross was one of the main contributors of Kingdom Come, along with Mark Waid, and to see him do a story on the Kingdom Come universe, which he hasn't really done prior to the Justice Society storyline since the actual story, which was 94, 95, so a good over 10 years. It's exciting. Superman versus Superman is always a great fight. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope you are as well. Again, it's on page 85, on sale November 5th. Back to you, Bob and John.
I'm looking forward to these JSA Kingdom Come specials. They should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. And especially, as Raph points out, having Alex Ross coming back to this, doing the story and art on this, I'm really looking forward to. I'm going to get all of them, but I think this Superman one, it sounds the most compelling of the bunch.
I do hope that the Kingdom one does touch on some of the characters from that storyline way back when.
I only have the most vague memory of that. I don't remember it as being the most brilliant storyline that ever came down the
It wasn't the most brilliant, but it had a couple of cool characters. Offspring, the son of Plastic Man.
I like the Flash's daughter.
Yeah, the Flash's daughter, Nightwing and Starfire's kid, whatever. You know, there were a couple others there that were just fun. It would be nice for them to at least, you know, touch on that in some way. And Steel and Vibe did not die in Crisis on Infinite Earth, but died in the Justice League series right around that time. But that's just, you know, trivia. Okay, we've got another pick from Rafe. Let's listen to that.
Hey, it's Raph again, back relatively quickly for my next pick. This one is Wonder Woman number 26. Special discount on DCBS, 50% off, so $2.99 retail means $1.50 for you. It's on page 86 of your previews. Wow, I made a huge leap there. And it's on sale November 26th, 32 pages, full color, $2.99 US. But again, if you're using DCBS, $1.50. Written by Gail Simone, art by Aaron Lopresti and Matt Ryan, covered by Aaron Lopresti. Rise of the Olympian begins. Spencer Aaron Lopresti returns to series just in time for Wonder Woman's world to change radically. For months, speculation over a new male Wonder Woman and his fellow Manazons has run rampant, and now the gossip can end. What horrific new threat is Special Agent Diana Prince unknowingly leading her team of agents up against? And at long last, the fate of the Amazons is finally revealed.
Anyway, so I think it's going to be good. I think finally figuring out where the Amazons are, despite the fact that Amazon's attack and countdown told us, will really help the Wonder Woman mythos further along, and those Spartanish Manazons that we've seen are finally going to make their appearance. Thank you. All right, so that's it for me. Back to you, Bob and John.
I think Raph has been listening to too much Mr. Movie Phone there before he's doing his picks, but I too am enjoying what Gail Simone is doing over in Wonder Woman. I actually like the – I wasn't that big on the, you know, kind of going off into that realm with the Beowulf and stuff that just finished up. But I've been liking kind of the normal sort of Wonder Woman story. So I'm looking forward to this arc.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's kind of unfortunate that they have to refer to this new character as the male Wonder Woman, since Marvel's got presumably the trademark and stuff on Wonder Man.
Yeah.
Didn't they go with Captain Wonder way back when they did the male counterpart in the original series?
I don't recall.
Eh, doesn't matter. Okay, next up we've got a pick from Sean Whalen of Raging Bullets. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, Sean Whalen from the Raging Bullets podcast, and I wanted to take a look at the DC Library Superman Kryptonite Nevermore hardcover. From DCB Service, it's available at 50% off, regularly $39.99, only $19.99, and it's a 192-page hardcover that's containing Superman 233 to 238 and 240 to 242. I was born in 1971 when these issues first started being published. It's written by Denny O'Neill, art by Kurt Swan and Murphy Anderson, with a cover by Neil Adams, and these are the classic stories from when the Earth One Superman no longer had to face issues with Kryptonite because Kryptonite was gone. So it's really an interesting story nowadays to see this amazingly strong Superman, but they found some interesting ways to work with his invulnerability during that time. So it really showed some creativity. Sure, you can get rid of Kryptonite, but you can tell some interesting and new and unique Superman stories, even though he has no longer that limitation. So I definitely recommend checking this one out, and definitely try to get that for the discount as well, because it's actually a wonderful read, and a wonderful read at a great price for anybody who's missed that. I love these hardcover collections that they're doing now with classic material. I'm a big fan of the Batman Illustrated by Neil Adams collections that they were doing, so I'm glad to see they're going back to some more of this era. And hardcover seems to be a great way to do that, because they seem to capture the colors in a very rich way on the paper in those volumes, so I'm hoping we get some high-quality paper on this one, too. I'm definitely interested in seeing what they do more with this DC Library line, though.
It does look interesting, and he's right, that is a good price point for that. I'm a little higher than where I'd like to be for the month, otherwise I might pick that up myself.
Yeah, I've got all those.
Of course you have all
comics,
those.
So I don't need to buy this. Maybe this is DC was intending this or not, but you know, that collector mentality, when it was DC Archives, I was collecting the Archives line, and I was just buying them because they were DC Archives. Now that they've pretty much aborted the DC Archives line and are just doing these other types of hardcovers, I don't feel compelled to buy them as they come out each month. So maybe they're going to be starting a new line that's the DC Comics Classic Library that, you know, they'll have a whole bunch of different titles in, but I think they're maybe moving a little farther up the Silver Age on those. So if they move up into the 70s, I don't really need to get them because I have all those comics.
Yeah. Okay, next up we've got another submission from Ian. Let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob, it's Ian Levinstein from the Comic Timing Podcast over at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing. Got a Wildstorm pick here, and I'm going to go with Ex Machina this month. Surprisingly, I've never picked it as my pick here on Comic Book Page, and yet it is consistently one of the best books that I read. Now, it's been delayed the past couple of months. I know that Brian K. Vaughan has been off doing other things, as has Tony Harris. Tony Harris has been on tour with Mark Miller lately, doing basically a press tour for their new book. And I know that he did a mini-series for Spider-Man for a while there, while Brian K. Vaughan's had Lost to work on, and a whole bunch of other things, including the script for Why the Last Man for the movie. But, you know, this is still going along. And Ex Machina is the type of book that I can wait for. I honestly don't care if it gets delayed. I'm happy to see it when it's there. It's the same way I feel about All-Star Superman, actually. Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman. Whenever I see that issue on the stands, doesn't matter how late it's been, I'm going to get happy. So when I see Ex Machina on my list for that week, I'm a happy camper. Anyway, going into this issue in particular, this is issue 39 of Ex Machina, and, well, we've got the end of a storyline here, the Dirty Tricks storyline. We might actually be getting to the truth of this series. Most specifically, something's going to be happening in here that might lead to the flashback from the beginning of the book. I mean, for anybody who's been reading Ex Machina from the start, they know that this entire series is in essence a flashback, because you see Mayor Hundred when he is no longer mayor, and then we get to the beginning of his story. So we're getting there here, apparently, according to the solicitation. We're going to get to one of the quote-unquote tragedies that leads to where we are in the first issue. So this is going to be $1.79 this month on DCBS, and it will also be $1.79 on Heroes Corner. And actually, I'm seeing two different covers here, one on Heroes Corner and one on DCBS. So I'm not quite sure which one's the right one and which one's the wrong one, but I guess we'll sort that out later on. The product code is SEP080194. That's SEP080194. 40% discount on Ex Machina. If you're not reading it, go ahead and read the deluxe hardcover that's coming out, or the original trades. Just do something. Do yourself a favor and read Ex Machina. It's a great alternate reality tale set in New York City, a very realistic New York City, even though it's a parallel universe. And, hey, what would happen in New York if there was a superhero? Read it and find out. John and Bob, send it back over to you.
To me, Ex Machina is kind of a superhero book that's not a superhero book. When we had that thread on the forum that Damien started, that was, you know, what if there were no superhero comics? What books would you still read? My initial impulse was, you know, listing Ex Machina among those non-superhero books. And then you pointed out, well, you know, he was a superhero. He was the Great Machine. So it's kind of a superhero book. But, you know, this one straddles the fence for me, because it, when I read the book, it's more about the political aspect of it than it is about the superhero aspect. Is really sort of incidental to the story.
Oh, totally, totally. It features a superhero, and it's got a little bit of the trappings of the superhero stuff. You know, the fact that he went by the superhero name, had the mask, that kind of deal. But it's very much a political book, in a much more grounded in reality kind of a book. It's certainly not your average, you know, cape and spandex, you know, kind of a superhero title at all. And it's one that, you know, again, going back to that forum thread, you would only need to tweak it ever so slightly to shift it from a superhero backdrop kind of a thing or whatever into just a straight sci-fi genre kind of a deal.
Right. So I mean, pretty much if he just didn't put the mask on and call himself the Great Machine, then you pretty much straight sci-fi background to it.
Exactly. It's a really well done book, and I like the political slant to it. So definitely worth checking out.
What would a previews episode be without Damien Smith? And this is probably the latest we've had the debut of a Damien clip as we've been coming along, but here we have our first clip from Damien.
Hey guys, it's Damien here from Cryptographic, and this is my first pick for the month. I know it's a bit late coming in, but I wanted to actually point out The Sandman, The Dream Hunters. Now, this is actually a comic adaptation of a prose story that came out about 10 years ago. It's actually the 10th anniversary for the story that was written by Neil Gaiman. It's also going to be the 20th anniversary of The Sandman coming out. So it's a bit of a, you know, good time if you love that sort of series. And to be honest, I loved it. I couldn't get enough of The Sandman. I was so disappointed when it dropped out. You know, then The Dreaming picked up and actually gave me something to sort of cling onto that world. But there hasn't been that much since. The actual original story is by Neil Gaiman. The adaption and art's by P. Craig Russell. And it's basically the whole concept of it was Neil was actually given a Japanese folklore of basically his own character, which he didn't even know existed. So he basically adapted the character for this Japanese folklore, to put Dream into that actual folklore. And it was actually done like Stardust was originally, so it was sort of done with, you know, the occasional picture through it, but it was all prose, and it's good seeing sort of this side of thing go through it as well. There's actually 3 preview pages there for it as well, so have a look at it. If you like the Sandman or if you like that world, definitely pick this one out. You know, I love that series. Even though I've got the actual hardcover of the prose story, I will be getting this one as well. Okay, back to Bob and John.
They've got a couple of preview pages on page 110 and 111, OLAM 109, that are really nice looking.
Yeah, I love P. Craig Russell's art, and I will definitely be getting this, but not in the monthly, since I read the original prose that came out 10 years ago. I definitely want to get this fully comics version of the story, but I'm sure they're going to put out some kind of a hardcover when after these 3 issues come out, and I will just wait and buy that hardcover instead of getting the monthly issues.
Oh yeah, it's guaranteed they're going to do a hardcover. I totally agree with that.
Next up, we have a comic book page pick, which is Jack of Fables, number 28. This is the lovable rogue Jack, who is all the Jacks that you ever saw in fairy tales. He's, you know, Jack jump over the candlestick and Jack the giant killer and, you know, all the different Jacks. And he's good fun to read. Matthew Sturgis and Bill Willingham doing the writing. This is part 1 of a 5-part arc, Jack's Big Book of War. He's returned as the commander-in-chief of the Fable armies, and it's the beginning of this new story in which lives will be lost, pigs will appear magically, and other things will happen that are so unbelievable your head would quite literally explode if you were to read about them in this condensed blurb form. So I'm glad Bill Willingham and Matthew Sturgis did not choose to explode my head by withholding information from me in this way. That's much appreciated, and I am on board for any new Jack of Fables story that's coming up. It's definitely on my must-read list, Jack of Fables and Fables that are coming out. So we've got 50% off on this one through DCBS. Please check it out.
And now we've got our second pick from Damien, so let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again from Welcome to Heavenside with my second pick for the month, which is on page 145, and it's The Fantastic Worlds of Frank Frazetta, Volume 1 Hardcover. Now, you've heard me probably talk on a previous episode about the Frank Frazetta's Death Dealer. Well, basically, this is the same sort of team. You've got Mark Kidwell writing, you've got Steve Niles writing, Joshua Ortega writing, and Rick Remender writing. They were all done as little one-shots. They're being collected, actually, into this. And there was 6 of them, if I remember correctly. Plus, there's actually going to be a heap of bonus material in there. They're going to be oversized, like the last one was. So it's actually 8.5 by 12 inches, so it's, you know, a good sized book. The stories are really strong compared to what they were done with the Verotic titles back in the day. They've fitted it all in, and actually it also links into the actual Death Dealer world. So if you got the Death Dealer one and you haven't actually picked up any of these one shots, you really need to pick this up, because they actually go into what's actually happening, you know, and sort of brings the past of what happened before Death Deal. I actually noticed when I was reading, I think it was Swamp Demon, that there was actually just this one part, and you realize what happened. This one character came across into Death Deal, which was really cool. If you haven't seen it, you know, this is really worth it. It's art on there. You've got Francesco Francavilla, you've got Josh Meadows, you've got Tim Vigil. The cover's by Frank Frazetta as well. Honestly, check it out. It's a hardcover. It's 176 pages, $29.95, but I'm sure it'll be out there at a discount somewhere. You really need to read this book if you like that sort of thing. Okay, back to Bob and John.
Okay, next up on page 161 from Image Shadowline, we've got I Hate Galaxy Girl number 1. This is a 50% discount through DCBS. The basic premise is we're following the adventures of the runner-up to the You Could Be the Next Galaxy Girl contest. And she's a little, I think, upset that the person who won has No powers, no real skills to speak of, but is just kind of pretty. So, this was written by the runner-up to the Who Wants to Create a Superheroine contest. And this just seems like a fun concept. It's a three-issue miniseries, again, about somebody who came in second place, written by somebody who came in second place. So, who knows, it might be slightly autobiographical in that respect. It just looks like a lot of fun, so definitely worth checking out.
And next after that is page 168. We've got a 50% off on this year's installment in the Jingle Bell, Paul Dini's Jingle Bell. This year, we've got Jingle Bell Santa Claus versus Frankenstein. And in the end of Mary Shelley's original novel, the Frankenstein monster was left off in the Arctic wastes, and I guess he wanders up to Santa's workshop in the North Pole. And we have an interview with artist for this one-shot, Stephanie Gladden, who also works for Cartoon Network. And we will talk more with her about this issue on our Friday episode. So I'll leave it at that, and we'll have more expansive discussion over there. But just so everyone knows, this one, 50% off. You have two covers to choose from, one by Stephanie and one by Greg Horn. So page 168 one more time.
And now we've got yet another clip from Damian.
Hey guys, it's Damian back from Cryptographic, which you can find at www.lordshaper.com/cryptographic, with my next pick for the month, which is The Darkness Accursed, which is the first trade paperback of actually the first six issues of the new Darkness series, which has been written by Phil Hester and art's done by Michael Brashard. Now, honestly, if you haven't been reading this, and I've been a big fan of The Darkness for many years, sort of, I've got most of the incarnations of it, I've chasing up back issues from when I was out of comics for a while otherwise, but if you haven't been reading this, you should really pick this up. Why are you asking? Well, because it's $4.99, just like they did with Witchblade when they sort of did the relaunch with that. You can get a really cheap trade with it. It's well worth it. If you don't know anything about the character, it will fill you in on everything you need. Six issues, $5. You know, I'm going to be getting a couple myself, to be honest. I'm going to get one for me and one for the Tadeusz they go to, since he loves the stuff as well. And, you know, even though I've got the issues, it's really worth it. So if you haven't checked it out before, I really reckon you should actually get it. It's a great book. I've been enjoying it all along, and, yeah, you can't go past it. Okay, back to Bob and John.
Next up, we've got a clip from Sean Whalen from the Marvels preview.
Hey guys, Sean Whalen from Raging Bullets again. I want to recommend something that I don't get an opportunity to talk about on my show. I want to talk about Dark Tower Treachery. I'm a big fan of the Dark Tower series from Stephen King. I read all the books. I've gotten the other two previous miniseries from Marvel. And this has been a really high-quality, well-produced miniseries of a book series that, you know, has so many fantasy and old Western elements and things like that that have really led to being put into a comic book miniseries. So I'm so glad to see that this has been successful and that they're continuing to work with it. It's written by Peter David and Robin Firth. Art and cover by Jay Lee and Richard Isanove. It's a wonderful series that's about Roland Deschain, who's on his quest for this mysterious Dark Tower. And along the way, he encounters characters from some of Stephen King's other books. He also encounters a whole cast of characters that he travels along with. These miniseries have gone and explored some of Roland's past and some of the side stories that have been happening during the whole Dark Tower series. So I like it because not only does it bring to life some of the things that I've read in the books, but it also has some own original work that's been published in here. So it's a wonderful series. I can't recommend it enough. It's 40 pages. It's regularly $3.99. You can get it at dcbservice.com for $2.39, but it's a wonderful, well-produced Marvel series that I can't recommend enough for anybody who's a fan of old Westerns, anybody who's a fan of fantasy, and it's an easy one to jump onto because they're being broken up into contained minis that really, realistically, you can read them by themselves, so don't be afraid to jump on this and have a good time with it.
Okay, the next thing from the Marvel previews we want to talk about is on page 20. That's Atom, Legend of the Blue Marvel number 1. That's 50% off through DCBS. And this seems to be another case where Marvel is trying to insert a character into their past, like they've done with Sentry. The art on this looks pretty good. It's written by Kevin Griveaux, And I've enjoyed what he did on the first issue of Zombies of Mass Destruction. So I think this could turn out to be okay. It certainly seems like an interesting idea, again, for them to kind of retcon a character back into the history. And it looks like Iron Man's going to play a key role in this. And this is about a hero who hasn't been seen since 1961, and the mystery about, you know, who is he and what happened to him. So, should be some fun stuff. And we've got another clip from Ian. Let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob and other comic book page people. It's Ian Levitine from the Comic Timing Podcast over at SpeakGeekSpeak.com/comic timing. Here with my first Marvel pick of the month. And this one is going to be Avengers Initiative Special. Now, call it number one, call it whatever you want. Most of the places I've seen have just said Avengers Initiative Special, so damn it, that's what I'm going to be calling it here. I've been following Avengers the Initiative from the beginning. In fact, if I remember correctly, I might have even had one issue of Avengers the Initiative as a pick on a previous comic book page, previous spotlight, but I'm picking this one here because it's going to wrap up one of the major plot lines that's been going on in Avengers the Initiative from the beginning, and that is the plot line of Hardball. Now, this character has had a double allegiance similar to what Spider-Woman had back in her early days on New Avengers and stuff like that before we knew the secret about her. Not going to spoil anything for the two of you who aren't reading current Marvel, but, you know, it was big, okay? With Hardball here, according to the solicitations, we're finally going to learn the truth about where his loyalty truly lies, as we've been seeing in Avengers the Initiative, and again, it's given away here right in the description, so spoiler. He's been a double agent working for Hydra as well as with the Initiative, and his girlfriend Kamoda finds out, and, well, it hits the fan. Let's put it that way. Things are not going to look very good here. Plus, we've got a solo story from Dan Slott backing up this issue, so everything is going to be fine and dandy like sour candy this month for Avengers Initiative. And you get a regular issue of Avengers the Initiative, too. So, not just a special, you get the other stuff as well. This is a $3.99 issue, which is being discounted to $2.39, both on Heroes Corner and on DCBS this month. The product code is SEP082324. That's SEP082324, written by Christos Gage and Dan Slott, pencils and covers by Steve Uy. Okay, I know it's probably pronounced U, but Steve Uy. Sounds so much better. It's UY. Come on, people. It can go any way you want it to go. We should probably ask him at the next convention he's at. Avengers Initiative Special. Read this issue. Buy this issue. John and Bob, stop me from talking.
I really love Avengers the Initiative, and I've really been enjoying it since the beginning. So this special is really something I'm also looking forward to. And next up, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy number 7, written by Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning with art by Paul Pelletier. New story arc, new lineup. Star-Lord is missing. I am really enjoying the cosmic side of the Marvel Universe that has kind of spun out of the Annihilation series that they've had. Looks like from the cover here, we've still got Groot, we've got Rocket Raccoon, we've got Gamora, we've got Bug, we've got Major Victory, and I just love this title, and I'm going to continue getting it. It is one of my favorite books that is coming out from Marvel right now, so if you haven't checked it out, give it a look, and it's should be picking up right after the first trade paperback. So if you checked out the first trade for Guardians of the Galaxy, this would be the monthly issue that follows on after that first trade.
And now we've got another clip from Bill Hughes.
Moving on to the Marvel books I wanted to talk about, the new Hulk series has been, you know, it's been kind of a train wreck or a car accident that kind of thing where, you know, it's horrifying, but you just can't take your eyes off of it, kind of. You know, I keep trying to drop it, but, you know, I might make it and skip a single issue or something, but I keep getting pulled back into it. It's a hokey series. It's got a lot of problems in the way it's written for me, but something about it keeps sucking me back in. And this month, the thing that's sucking me into it this month is the cover, actually, or rather the variant cover, which will be drawn and not inked, but actually penciled by Sal Buscema. And I don't think he's done any penciling in recent years. I think he's pretty much just been inking Spider-Girl for a couple of years now. So I'm sort of excited by the fact that he's going to be drawing something again. So even though it's only a cover, I think I'll be picking up that book.
Well, I have been able to look away from the train wreck, which is the Hulk. So I don't know about you. Have you been reading this, John?
Well, such as it is, yes. I agree. It's a little haphazard.
I have been able to avert my gaze successfully after the first issue.
Yeah, not a bad choice.
But, you know, this issue, I mean, what's compelling to me about this issue is they're trucking out Art Adams and Frank Cho to do the interior art on this. You know, they're not doing it with each other. It looks like there's two stories in here. There's an Art Adams story against Wendigo, and then a Frank Cho story of the Red Hulk, who apparently they're calling Rulk. Yeah. Anyway, against the Lady Liberator. So having Frank Cho draw a bunch of female characters is usually a safe bet to get people to buy something. So I think that they're really pulling out the stops to get people to check out the Hulk series. And if Art Adams and Frank Cho are not going to do it, I don't know what will.
Okay, now we've got another pick from Ian. Let's listen to that.
This is the end, my only friend, the end.
Okay, apparently I didn't get the memo not to sing. Oh, well. Iron Man, the end, or Iron Man End, or yet again, however you want to pronounce that, or say it, or whatever. The descriptions for the Marvel books this month are a little weird. They don't actually have any numbers next to them when they're specials. They don't put the word the when it should be there. I mean, Iron Man End doesn't really sound right to me. If it is actually just called Iron Man End, then I apologize, but everything I've seen up until now, it was called Iron Man The End, but maybe that was a last-minute change. I do not know. This one's written by David Michelin and Bob Layton, with art by Bernard Chang and Bob Layton on inks. So you're getting a nice Bob Layton style, even with the Bernard Chang art. And Bob Layton is heavily involved with this, along with David Michelin. They used to be the team on Iron Man back in the day, and they were asked by Marvel Comics once upon a time to write a final story for Iron Man. Hence, Iron Man, the end. The original story had some, I guess, was sort of in a holding pattern for a while, as they wanted to do it one way, but Marvel wasn't exactly happy with that, so they put it on hold. Now, finally, their story is going to be told, and we're going to be able to see what will be, in essence, the last Tony Stark story. Similar to what happened with Hulk, the end, and X-Men, the end, and all those other ones that happened. So it could be fun. Some of the other The End stuff has been good. And plus, the previous stuff that Layton and Michelin did, most specifically I'm thinking of the Legacy of Doom series that just came out, the miniseries, was actually plenty of fun. And it's going to be a nice old-school Iron Man romp in the Iron Man world. There's not going to be any Civil War or Secret Invasion or any iron douchery happening here. It's just going to be plain and simple Iron Man action. Now, this one is going for $4.99 retail, so we've got it for $2.99 on Heroes Corner, and it's going for $2.99 on DCBS as well. The product code is SEP082344. That's SEP082344. Little on the expensive side, but if you're a fan of old school Iron Man action, this one is definitely for you. John and Bob, your turn.
I like that. No iron douchery. That's funny. I believe it's David Michelini, as opposed to pronounced like the tire company, though. And this is definitely something I'm looking forward to. I've always loved Bob Layton and Bernard Chang back in comics doing the penciling on this. This one looks like it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. This should be a lot of fun. Now for our final Marvel pick, we go back to Bill.
My last book is going to be She-Hulk number 35, which is another book that's kind of on again, off again on my pull list. These days it's mostly on with everything that's been going on with Secret Invasion, but this issue is hardcore on because it's going to have Valkyrie and the Lady Liberators, which, yeah, you know, that's right up my alley, another ex-Defender returning to prominence in the Marvel Universe right now in some capacity. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see one of my old favorite characters sort of debut again. I think she may have popped up in issue 34. I don't have previews. I don't read previews myself. I do everything with the DCBS online, so I may have missed it, but she may have popped up in 34. Who knows? But 35 I'm definitely picking up. In closing, listen to the drawer box. I'm out. Peace.
And with that, we finish off with the Marvel previews, head back into the main previews, and start looking through the other comics and graphic novels section. And to start us off on that is our friend Sean Whalen.
Hey guys, Sean Whalen, Dr. Norge from Raging Bullets again. I wanted to talk about Terry Moore's Echo. I'm a huge fan of Terry Moore from Stranger in Paradise, and when the Echo series was announced, I was really excited because it's time to see Terry Moore basically unleash. He, you know, can kind of have his own creator-owned characters. And one thing I like about Terry Moore is Terry Moore does these wonderfully well-rounded characters where you really get to know them as you read a series. They're not just, you know, two-dimensional. They really come to life, and you feel like you're friends with them as the series goes on. Julie is definitely a great example of this in Echo. Julie's gained this like atomic armor that she got from an accident that she just happened to all of a sudden become a part of. And now in issue number 8, it looks like we're finally going to see someone else who's got the armor as well. And what does that mean? This Dark One is definitely going to be an adversary that I'm going to be interested in seeing what Terry Moore does with. This is nice because if you read Strangers in Paradise, it's a very different approach, a different series from Terry Moore, but it's got all the great things that you expect from Terry Moore in fantastic art, wonderfully well-imagined characters, but now with a sci-fi twist, which is really interesting to see. The price on this one at DCB Service is $2.28, and I can't recommend enough checking out Terry Moore's Echo number 8 from Abstract Studios, because it's a wonderful, wonderful series.
Yeah, I have to agree with him on that. It was one I checked out based on the strength of Terry Moore's name and have really, really enjoyed that series. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, agreed. It's definitely one that I've been enjoying as we go along.
Our next pick is on page 194, and that's Contract Solo Missions Jesse One-Shot. And this time we're focusing on the Jesse Garrett character, which is the leader of the Stellar Rangers, the Cybermerc company. As she goes home to kind of visit her father and take a little time off, and we get kind of, you know, her origin of how she became a Merc in the first place. The contract stuff has been a good mix of action-adventure, some sci-fi, and just some good characters. I've been enjoying what they're doing with this stuff, and I'm looking forward to both this one-shot and the ones focusing on the other characters. So it's got a 45% discount through DCBS and is definitely something worth checking out. Okay, next up we've got a clip from Mike Myers. Let's listen to that.
This is Mike Myers again with my last and final pick for this month. It's from Arcanio Studios Press. It's Gauze. It's not the Greatest American Hero. I was thinking about getting that book, but decided to get Gauze instead because I wasn't sure how that character would translate, if it would translate well to comics. I am enjoying Sparks, but I was kind of hesitant to get Greatest American Hero. But instead, I'm getting Gauze. It's by German Tramis and Dave Hammond. It's on page 201 of your previews. The little blurb reads, Elizabeth Morgan has been on the run from a serial killer for the past 2 years. Under the protection of police, Elizabeth relocated to New York City to await the killer's apprehension. But after the murder of a young girl and her parents on the outskirts of Nashville, Elizabeth must once again leave everything behind and seek safety in a new life. And it's $2.95. That's pretty good price. Full color, 32 pages. I'm excited to try it out. And you can check out my podcasts at DC Noise or Geek Brunch. And they're both located at www.dcnoise.blogspot.com or www.geekbrunchpodcast.com, also available on iTunes. Thanks again. And back to Bob and John.
Okay, next up going into Avatar Press, surprise, surprise, we've got a pick there from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back once more with my next pick, and what would a previews episode be without me actually talking about a book from Avatar Press? Well, I've got the book for you here. It's actually Freak Angels Volume 1, which is a trade paperback. Now, if you didn't know about Freak Angels, it's actually a webcomic that Warren Ellis has actually been putting up basically every week. They've just finished this first run now. And the book itself is actually 144 pages, so if you haven't actually seen it before, you can actually go to freakangels.com. You can actually, you know, read it, literally everything on there if you want to. I've been reading it ever since it came out. You get six pages a week, and it's a really good story. It's sort of like your combination of a steampunk, end of the world, water world type thing going on. There's this group of people called the Freak Angels who actually have a power of sorts. They can sort of, you can see that they can do telepathy, they can sort of read each other's minds, they can talk each other through their minds. We've even got one who wears the tinfoil hat, so, you know, he doesn't have the others intruding on what he's doing. So, really, if you want to see something like this, I really recommend it. You actually get three different versions with it. You've got the soft cover at $19.99, you've got the hard cover at $27.99, and there's a signed hardcover as well, which you can get for $39.99. It is a great book. I really recommend it. I'm debating between the soft cover and the hardcover myself. I really love the actual cover image on the actual hardcover, so that might be the swaying point for it. On page 209, check it out. If you want to actually see it, as I said, go to freakangels.com. You can actually read all the bits of it there, or as much as you want to read of it, and, you know, make up your own mind for there. But I really can't wait to get this in my hands. Okay, back to Bob and John.
Okay, next up, we've got Raph. Let's listen to that.
Hello, comic book pages. Raph again with my next pick. This one's an independent pick from Avatar Press on page 214 of your previews. Gravel number 8 by Warren Ellis, Mike Wolfer, and Oscar Jimenez. Combat magician William Gravel's back in the second story arc of his ongoing series. This issue is a perfect place for new readers to jump in, and returning readers are going to be blown away by what's in store this season. Gravel, the explosive monthly series from Ellis and Wolfer, takes a whole new turn as Gravel faces adversaries far more formidable than ever before. Now that he's got the Six Sand in his possession, Gravel is exposed to extremes of magic he's never seen. But will he be able to do anything with it? Because that degree of power is getting him noticed by people he never wanted to meet. The Major Seven are magicians of unimaginable power, far beyond anything Gravel has ever faced, and now they want him dead. This issue is available with a regular cover by Mark Wolfer, a wraparound cover by series artist Oscar Jimenez, and also a rare Black Magic edition featuring new cover by Wolfer. Mature themes, not for anyone under the age of 18. As the description says, it's a nice jumping on point. I have been enjoying Gravel so far. It's interesting, and I hope you will enjoy it too. While I go answer that text message, back to you, Bob and John.
All right, and I'm a big fan of Gravel, and we'll be picking that one up too. Next up, we've got from Boom Studios, Farscape number 1. This is by, it's at least co-written by Farscape creator Rockne O'Bannon, and he's going to be working with novelist Keith DeCandido to continue Farscape in comic book form right where the Peacekeeper Wars storyline left off. We get to see more of John Crichton, Aaron Sun, Rigel, Chiana, and the rest of the crew. It ties into Sci-Fi Channel's upcoming webisodes of Farscape. So anyone who is a fan of the Farscape series on Sci-Fi is probably going to want to be checking this out. This is going to be similar to the Buffy series when Joss Whedon made the current Buffy series a direct continuation of his TV show. This Farscape series is a direct continuation, and it also has the participation of the creator of the TV show, which is quite fun that they're doing that with yet another show that has gone off the air that has a good fan following. So, Farscape fans, check it out.
And that's got a 45% discount through DCBS. Now, on page 256, with a 50% discount through DCBS is Zorro number 9 from Dynamite Entertainment. This starts kind of the second story arc for that series. I've really enjoyed the first story arc. They've done a good job, you know, establishing the character, giving his origin, and telling some good stories along the way. And no doubt the second arc will be just more of the same. And if you're at all interested in either the Zorro character or you're enjoying some of the other stuff by Dynamite, like the Lone Ranger, I highly recommend this. This is some great art, some great story. I mean, it's written by Matt Wagner, and Francesco Francavilla is doing the art and stuff. So, I mean, you just can't go wrong with that combination. Next up, we've got two picks from J.M. Campbell. Let's listen to those.
Hey, Bob and John. This is John Campbell from the Comics Radar podcast. First off, thanks for having me on here to talk about a comic that I think is pretty cool. And what comic is that? That's from DeBell Brothers. I want to talk about the book Dresden Files, Welcome to the Jungle. Now, you may know the Dresden Files. It's a series of books written by Jim Butcher. I believe there's 9 in the series. I may be off by 1 or 2 in there. Also, the Dresden Files had a TV series that was very short-lived on the Sci-Fi Channel that was a bit lackluster, I'll admit. And now they have a new graphic novel series, or comic book series, however erudite you wish to be, called Dresden Files, Welcome to the Jungle, published through DeBell Brothers. Now, you may know the name DeBell Brothers because they had some publishing issues where they were jumping around, and they started off as their own publisher, and then they joined with another group, and then they went back to their own publisher, then they joined with Marvel, where you probably saw they got a lot of notoriety in that because they were doing the Laurel K. Hamilton books for the Anita Blake series, a miniseries called Guilty Pleasures through them. Well, anyways, they broke off from Marvel and went back to publishing their own books. I don't know the reasons why. I don't know the what's and wherefores behind it. But let me just say they've done quality books all around, and this new Dresden Files is no exception. Now, pretty much, one of the nice things is all these different permutations of the main character, Harry Dresden, you don't really need to know any other one. You can even read the novels, and you can pick up the third novel, and while there may be like 1 or 2 things that you don't grasp automatically, everything is well explained out. And this new comic book series is no exception, because it's actually written by the same author of the novels, unlike the TV series, which would be Jim Butcher. So what this story is an all-new Dresden tale, not a redo of one of the books, or not a tale that's not going to matter. This is in continuity, written by the original author. It is really cool. All you need to know about Harry Dresden is that he is a wizard. He is a wizard living in modern-day America. He's not in some world of superheroes. He's not, you know, he's not like raising up his metal fingers and making praises to the Eye of Agamotto or any Doctor Strange type stuff. He is a straight up wizard. Nobody really respects him because he's a wizard. Of course, they all think he's some kind of charlatan, but he gets hired by the police. It's kind of like if you ever watch the USA Channel, they have a TV series called Psych, where a guy pretends to be a psychic, and you know the police force kind of takes him seriously and kind of doesn't. Well, that is kind of the same situation that Harry Dresden is in. But for him, it's a wizard. And he's an actual wizard. He has magic spells, kind of. Well, he has magic spells, but they're not simple magic spells. Like, again, I'd say, you know, he's not an Eye of Agamotto type guy. He's a Eye of Newt, Toe of Frog, Wing of Bat, Tongue of Dog type guy. And he's just trying to make his way in the world. Well, this series has him on a new case. He works pretty much exactly like a private eye for the most part. And this brings him into a zoo where there's been these attacks by some murderer, which they end up blaming on a gorilla named Mo. And, of course, they ask Dresden to investigate, and he thinks there's something more to it, something supernatural, which, of course, the cops don't believe. They think it was just this gorilla attack. So he has to solve the case and find an explanation for the police that they can accept and use as actual evidence, and not let them know about magic, because the Wizard Council really wouldn't like that. There's like kind of these like wizard cops, and he's not supposed to let them know, but that's not really too important. Anyways, the artwork is by Artian CF, and while no artist is going to be able to ramp up the images the same way that the mind's eye can, he does a great job of visualizing the magical aspects a little bit and just really doing an effective job of telling the story panel to panel. Great job on that. As far as the story goes, like I said, it's written by Jim Butcher. This is the same guy that's written the novel series. This is the same guy that had some level of input on the TV series. Even he says he didn't have enough. But you're not going to get something that's off character if you are familiar with the series. And if you're not familiar with the series, well, you can just take my word for it. Everything is very acceptable by what the artist writes. So Welcome to the Jungle. This is a collection of a 4-issue miniseries, and it's available in your previews this month. Go ahead and check it out, and always you can let me know what you thought of the book by going to comicsradar.com. I want to tell you about another DeBell Brothers book. This one is George R.R. Martin's Wild Cards. The miniseries is called The Hard Call. Now, George R.R. Martin has worked with DeBell Brothers before, with The Hedge Knight and The Song of Fire and Ice. So obviously he's pretty happy with the job they've done. So he spun out his novel series, The Wild Cards. Wild Cards is a series of anthology books, and then later on they did full-length novels about this alternate history where at the end of World War II in 1946, this alien disease was let loose, and it affected a massive number of people. I think it's in like the tens of thousands. I don't remember the exact numbers. It's been a while since I've read the novels. Well, majority of them just died, straight out dead, no luck whatsoever. A small portion of them became hideously deformed but gained some kind of power. And those ones were called the Jokers. Now, you know, they turn into some kind of monster, but kind of like a lot of the mutants that appeared during Grant Morrison's version of X-Men, a lot of the students, like you had the guy with the like he looked just like a skeleton and the guts in there, but the skin was completely clear. And you had Beak, who looked like half chicken, half man. That would kind of be the idea of what a Joker is. And then there was an even smaller portion, like 1% of the people that were afflicted by this disease got what they called the Aces. And the Aces would be like your Captain America, your Spider-Man. It looks perfectly normal, can walk out and every day, you know, just be a normal person if he wants to, but he has some kind of superpower. Now, this story kind of advances that forward. Again, we're in modern day America, and we're dealing with, there's like kind of two different groups, and their stories kind of intertwine. So it's kind of interesting. One of the characters, I believe, has appeared in the novels, but like I said, it's been a while since I've read them, so I'm not entirely sure. That's Croyd Crenson, who is an ace known as the Sleeper. And his whole deal is that he sleeps for like years at a time, and every time he wakes up, he looks like somebody different. He has different powers, just completely new person. And he's being framed for this possible murder. And then there's another group of students. There's a group of students that have discovered that they also got hit by this disease at a school science project, mixing in a little bit of that traditional, you know, superhero origin story in there, and how they deal with getting their own powers. Like the one boy discovers he's an ace, but, you know, being an ace isn't always a great thing. Even though he looks normal and he has this power, maybe that's not something he necessarily still wants. Others try and deal with being a Joker. What do you do if you look like a hideous freak? There's a potential cure in this story, but, you know, would you take that cure if it's even more likely to kill you? Remember, only like 10% of the people that got this disease weren't killed by it to begin with, and now you're going to take something even smaller and that has an even better chance of killing you. So, you know, what would you do if you were in that kind of situation? That's what kind of this book kind of deals with. So if you like a slightly twisted look at superheroes, this is one you're going to want to check out. Again, it's George R.R. Martin's Wild Cards. The miniseries is called The Hard Call, published by DeBell Brothers. It's written by novelist Daniel Abrams, so you're not getting a traditional comic book style story. But the artwork is by Eric Battle, who's a very talented individual, so you're getting very sharp artwork, very clean. He's worked on Batman, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, good stuff. Check it out, and if you want, you can always let me know what you think about it over at comicsradar.com. But now we're going to go back to these guys, Bob and John. Have at it, guys.
Okay. Now, I'm a big fan of the Wild Cards universe, so this looks like a really good a good graphic novel to me.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the miniseries.
Yeah. So, you know, this is – I got the issues, so I don't need to get the collection, but I enjoyed it quite a lot as it came out monthly. So worth checking out, definitely. And I guess next up is Stan's Soapbox, the collection trade paperback by Stan Lee and Various. And I think the Various is where we have some historical context around the Stan's Soapbox articles. Now, Stan's Soapbox to me was – back in the 60s, late 60s and early 70s, there was no internet. I mean, there were barely computers that weren't the size of an apartment building. And, you know, you had letters pages and you had Stan's soapbox. That was what connected you to the comics creators. There really weren't even fanzines back then. There were not really conventions for the most part. So there was not a lot of ways to get any kind of interaction with the creators. And every month, actually a couple of times a month probably, Stan would have this short little Stan's soapbox article. And he had that kind of chatty, huckster, kind of lovable huckster attitude that you always see him have when he, you know, that's his public persona. But he was very effusive and he would talk about things and very friendly back and forth. And the fan reading this column could really feel like they knew Stan and they were getting the inside track on Marvel Comics. And I really think that this kind of thing, as well as the kinds of responses they had back in the letter columns back then, has a lot to do with why Marvel Comics just took off like a rocket and surpassed DC and is holding a position of dominance that they hold to this day in the market. I mean, it really starts right here. And the fact that we have this collection of these, any fan of comics, anybody who loves Marvel Comics or is any kind of a historian of comics should be picking this book up. It's $14.99. The discount is not that high on it because it is a charity book. It's for the Hero Initiative, which used to be called ACTOR. It is a charity, so all proceeds from this are going to the creators that in the days past who were not getting the huge royalties that they get today, were not getting the relatively large page rates that are getting today. This is really helping out those old time creators. So on multiple levels, this book is a must buy. DCBS has it for 35% off, so you get it for about $10. And, you know, go out and buy it. If you're not buying this, you can't call yourself a fan of the comics art form and a fan of comics.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that Stan soapbox trade. It should be a lot of fun. And you're right, because back then you had the letters pages and the editorial pages like this. And that was the main form of communication outside of the content of the stories themselves. You know, and it was just a different age back then. So, should be a lot of fun. Now, also on that same page, we've got our next pick, and that's from iBox Publishing, and that's Thieves and Kings Apprentices Book 1 graphic novel. We've got a 45% discount through DCBS on that, and we talked to Mark Oakley, the writer and artist on that, for a fair bit of time. That was the episode we released this past Friday. We broke that out into a separate episode because we felt it was a really good discussion about kind of the history of Thieves and Kings, both in terms of, you know, the previous series and in terms of this new graphic novel, and also got some really good insight as to, you know, kind of how Mark Oakley thinks as a creator and kind of his journey of putting this story and narrative world together. So if you want more information about that book or about Thieves and Kings in general, go check out the episode we released last Friday. And after talking to Mark Oakley, I went to mycomicshop.com and picked up a nearly complete run of Thieves and Kings. I've still got to find the final issue, 46, I believe.
And it's a really fun series to check out. I mean, kind of like nice fantasy, feel like fantasy. We talk more about it on that episode, so you can go check that out if you want to hear more. Next up on page 287 from IDW Publishing, we've got Sir Apropos of Nothing, number one. And this is a continuation of the character Sir Apropos of Nothing from the novel series that Peter David created. as far as I recall, he did three novels in the Apropos series, and this is not an adaptation of any of those novels, but is a new original story with the characters. And I love Peter David. I love the Apropos novels. I love a lot of his comics work. Peter David is one of those guys who, if I see his name writing a book, I will buy it. It's the possible exception to that, because he does do a lot of adaptations of different Hollywood properties. So if I'm not a big fan of the Hollywood property, I'm not necessarily going to get it. But anything he does as an original work, I love his work, and I will absolutely be there. And this Apropos of Nothing, I'm right there for it. We've got a 50% off discount on this through DCBS. It is one of the comic book page feature picks for the month.
And now we've got another pick from Rafe. Let's listen to that.
Hello, comic book pages. Rafe back again for my final pick of the November previews. Star Trek The Next Generation, The Last Generation, number one. Page 291 of your previews. Written by Andrew Stephen Harris, art by Gordon Purcell and Pablo Raimondi on cover. Starfleet is no more. The Federation lies in ruin, and the Klingons have conquered Earth. But a resistance, led by Jean-Luc Picard, seeks to free humanity from Klingon rule. IDW Publishing proudly joins forces with Simon & Schuster's Pocketbook Division to deliver a myriad universe title in conjunction with the Star Trek alternate universe prose novels of the same name, plus a special bonus excerpt from one of the myriad universe novels. Full color, 32 pages, $3.99, with discount from your online retailers, of course, as always. This is the end, the only end, my friend, in this universe, for Jean-Luc Picard and the rest of our beloved Next Generation crew. I am looking forward to it. Back to you, Bob and John.
Yeah, he's been listening to a little too much of the movie phone guy, or the narrator for the trailers, or what have you. Next up, we've got on page 293, the Love and Capes trade paperback. This is coming out from IDW. This is an excellent, excellent series. It's essentially a sitcom centered around the romantic comedy of a Superman analog type character. And just the challenges the Crusader has dealing with his girlfriend and, you know, life in general like that. The superheroes are, you know, front and center, but the superheroics are completely in the background. This is all about the relationship and the personal interactions. It's an excellent book. We talked with Tom Zoller. That'll be on our previews episode on Friday. This has a 50% discount, and this is something that I highly recommend. I can't recommend anything higher than this. This is an excellent book. Incredibly accessible and just a lot of fun. So definitely go check that out. Next up, we've got another clip from J.M. Campbell.
Hey, John and Bob. Thanks for having me on here one more time. I'm John Campbell from the Comics Radar podcast at comicsradar.com. And the last book I want to tell you about, I'm sure John and Bob still have a lot of cool stuff to talk about, but the last book I want to talk about is Blue Monday, Thieves Like Us, number one, from Oni Press. Story and artwork by China Clugston Major. Now, why do I want to tell you about this book? Well, it's the fifth one in the series. It's the fifth mini-series, I should say. And it's just a really cool, fun story. Let me read you the solicitation, because unfortunately, China Clugston books are a little bit hard to explain in that this is what it's about kind of way. So the solicitation for issue one says, "The whole world is thinking about sex, and it's all Blue's fault. At least it certainly seems that way, but if Blue can get some experience in these matters, maybe she can attract Mr. Bishop after all. But what scheme will Blue hatch to achieve her goal?" So, automatically, I can tell you there's going to be no spandex, no superheroics of any kind. It's just a story about Blue and her friends. And it's written by, like I said, China Clugston, who has done several of these books before. And really, the main reason I like it is because I've had the opportunity to meet China Cluxton. She was actually one of the first celebrities, or not celebrities, but comic book people that I had a chance to meet outside of the traditional comic book setting. The entire time, as far as I can remember, she was a complete class act, a wonderful person. And when I got home, I went and picked up her books, Blue Monday. And they're just these offbeat stories about teenagers being teenagers. One of them, she has like this imaginary weasel friend. I don't know whether or not that's going to appear in this new story or not, but just an excellent storyteller, excellent art, and one of my favorite creators. So, Oni Press, Blue Monday, Thieves Like Us. If you have a chance, you see it in the comic shop, go ahead and check it out. Back to you, John and Bob.
And that's our last comic book pick, even though that is only with Oni. So, apparently, I think the previews fatigue factors in a little. There's still some great stuff later in the catalog than this. I would recommend pretty much anything and everything from both Radical and Red 5. And let's go ahead and play our last clip of the month. And as is probably no surprise, it's from Damien.
Hey guys, Damien here again for my last pick for the month. And it's actually from the back end of the section. And when I mean the back end, I mean the very back end. It's actually on page 452. It's the Revoltech Protective Gear action figure. Now, I know I don't normally talk about action figures, even though I like them, but honestly, this is something that I absolutely love the look of. Now, I'm a big fan of, you know, some of the animated movies that have came out over the time, and one of my favorite ones was Jinro, the Wolf Brigade. Now, if you haven't seen it, it's literally, it's basically a futuristic type setting where the police are sort of like, you know, they're armed police. They don't have sort of rubber bullets and that. They actually run around carrying submachine guns and stuff like that. But it's actually an adaptation of Red Riding Hood based on the actual original story of it too. So, and, you know, they're trying to get into confidence. They're both basically the wolves that are chasing down Red Riding Hood, who's a terrorist who's transporting bomb parts. If you haven't seen it, it came out in 99, so it's nearly 10 years old now, but honestly, so you go and get it. But on page 452, have a look at the armor. Now, one thing that I did notice recently as well is it's actually very reminiscent of the Killzone armor, if you've actually ever played that game for PlayStation. So I think they have sort of taken some leniency with that and sort of borrowed it from that, but the original concept is from Jinro. Honestly, have a look at it. I'm buying one. It's $24.95, but honestly, I want one. Check it out. I'll love it, and I reckon you guys, if you like that sort of thing, will love it too. Okay, see you guys next month.
It is kind of a cool-looking action figure, but I'm trying to ramp back on my action figure purchases.
Yeah, it does look cool. Okay, so end of another previews catalog. How did you fare this month?
I had, I think, 195 items, which is a bit too much. I'm still behind on my reading. I need to be cutting back on some of this. $746.70 at retail after discount and shipping through DCBS. That works out to $477.54. Which is about a little over a 36% discount.
Up is down and black is white this month because I have less items than you, John. I have 169 items. I'm still getting you on dollar amount because I've got a Bowen statue and a couple of Bowen busts and a couple of Marvel Masterworks. But, you know, I came in at 1,092 retail. Comes down to $728 after the discount, adding in the shipping, which is a little over a 33% discount. Less of a discount on those statues and things like that, so it brings my average down. But you know, I did, you know, when I took those things out, when I took those just handful of big ticket items out, I'm pretty much right at the same exact level as you on dollars. So we're kind of right in the same ballpark there, but you're getting a lot more regular comic book items than me. I have a few more of the, you know, hardcover type of things. But You know, I've really been, if you go out to the forums, you know, and you listen to the event fatigue episode and things like that, I have really been tailing off on things. I made a lot of choices when we had the previews call of series to drop off on. When I found out that Tim Rackrich had given up on Simon Dark, if even Tim, who when that series first came out, was hailing it as the most brilliant comic book that had ever been written. You know, when I found out that he had bailed on it and I realized I hadn't been enjoying it for a while, I pulled the plug on that. And I did the same thing with a lot of others. I'm not jumping on board with a lot of these $3.99 miniseries that are coming out that are, you know, aside from continuity. I read a lot of Marvel annuals yesterday. It was Saturday and I was just doing reading and most of them were just terrible and out of continuity. So like didn't get the Eternals annual that was solicited because it looks like it's going to be a side story that doesn't matter to the main series, you know, things like that. I've just been making some choices like that lately.
That's going around.
You know,
I mean, that's definitely going around because for Bill's clips, piecing in one file, it was about 12, 15 minutes long, which I cut into pieces so we could kind of place it throughout the episode. And I didn't play two of the clips where he was talking about how for both the Superman stuff, where they're doing that arc across all the titles plus a number of one-shots, how that was kind of pushing him out of the Superman stuff, and how he felt there was too much of the JSA stuff this time around with the specials. And I totally see where he's coming from on that. You know, I'm at the point of, do they really need to be doing two ongoing Titans titles and two miniseries? Do I need to be getting as many comics as I am? And, you know, it's a little hard for me to make huge cuts dollar-wise, because, I mean, most of what I'm getting is at that $2.99, $3.99 cover price. So it takes a while to whittle down the dollars, but I can certainly be starting to whittle down the number of titles. And yeah. I think going forward, what I may start doing as I catch up on my reading and stuff is just be making notes, kind of using our 5-point scale of what I think of the titles as I'm reading them. And as I go, maybe use that to determine. It's like, well, you know, this one hasn't been doing too well lately. Let's think about dropping it.
Well, it's the same thing for me. Anything that, you know, I get so many books, you know, and you do the same thing, I'm sure. When you get your stack of books, you kind of prioritize it. And, you know, the things that you want to read the most are up at the top and other things kind of fall to the bottom of the stack and you don't get to them, you know, for a while. And I'm looking at certain books and it's like, well, if I'm 6 or 7 months behind on this book because, you know, it just, I've lost interest in it essentially, you know, it's like, why do I need to keep on buying it?
Well, for me, there are some books that I just need to be in the right mood for, you know, and maybe I'm not there now, but, you know, in a week or two or a week ago, you know, I was, what have you. So that's some of it for me. But the bottom line is, I mean, both of us are getting close to 200 comics a month. So it certainly makes sense for us to be cutting back. But I don't want people to think that there's a lack of good material coming out. There isn't. There's a ton of great stuff coming out, some of which we talked about in this episode, some of which we didn't. Again, we didn't talk about anything from either Radical or Red 5. Both of those have a lot of good stuff coming out. There's some great stuff coming out from Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, and all the other publishers out there. So it's a matter of picking and choosing to where you get the maximum enjoyment for, you know, the least dollars spent is really what it comes down to. And hopefully this episode is helping people do that. If you think there's something we should have talked about and didn't, you know, when the next previews comes out or when the solicitations come out online, and they should be pretty much coming out any day now for the October previews, look it over. If you see something that looks good, record a clip, send it in to us. We have an open submission policy, and, you know, we want to cover as many things as possible. Part of what I like about these episodes is other people talking about other comics that I'm not getting and helping me decide if I should be or not. Again, both when you get previews, when you see the solicitations online, if you want to submit, we welcome that. We certainly appreciate all of our fellow podcasters who have contributed this month. Go check out their podcasts. They're doing some great stuff. Comics are a lot of fun. There's a lot of good stuff to read and to talk about and to listen to. So I'll have links in the show notes for all the podcasts and stuff that contributed this month.
Yeah.
Anything else? We've pretty much done.
I think that does it.
Cool.
Attention, superhero fans. October 25th and 26th is the Comic Fusion Superhero Weekend featuring Wonder Woman Day. This is a time for all of us to have some fun while giving back to our community. To bring awareness to domestic violence, we're honoring our favorite Amazon princess through a massive comic book art auction and prize drawings and costume contests at Comic Fusion. If you're an artist or creator and would like to contribute, you have until October 1st to get something to us. Wonder Woman Day was founded by best-selling author and superfan Andy Mangles, who continues to organize the West Coast event. If you're on the East Coast, look up Stacy or Beth at Comic Fusion in New Jersey. For anyone wanting to participate in the bidding online or in person, just keep checking the websites comicfusion.com and wonderwomanmuseum.com.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.